After the flood, Noah's family began to settle down in their new environment. God had blessed them and told them to increase in number and repopulate the earth. He had promised that never again would the regular succession of the seasons fail because of a universal flood. Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, began to cultivate the ground, and sons and daughters were born to them. They were the only human beings alive at that time, and they became the ancestors of every single race on earth. The lists given in the Bible of the early nations are a precious source of information about these remote times. According to many specialists, these documents, which are early statistics of primitive humanity, are in fact the oldest records of the origins of nations. But before developing the theme of the spread of humanity on the earth, the Bible shows, by a little anecdote, that even a completely new beginning does not change the fundamental nature of mankind. Human beings come into the world with a nature like Adam's, who disobeyed God's law. The little anecdote given in the Bible about Noah and his sons proves that even godly men are not free from sin. Jesus Christ was the only man on earth who lived a sinless life. Noah began to cultivate the ground. He planted a vineyard and made wine. Then one day he drank too much, became drunk, and lay uncovered inside his tent. The youngest of his three sons, Ham, went into the tent and saw his father lying naked on the ground. Instead of covering Noah, he showed disrespect. He left him there, went out, and told his two brothers. Shem and Japheth, out of respect for their father, took Noah's cloak, put it over their shoulders, and walking backwards so as not to see their father's nakedness, they covered him with it. When Noah awoke and heard what had happened, he pronounced a short prophecy about the descendants of his three sons. Aware of their characters and natural tendencies, he foresaw, through prophetic inspiration, the destinies of the nations that would come from them. First of all, he cursed one of Ham's sons, Canaan, who must have had the same disrespectful attitude in this affair as his father. "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers," said Noah. This prophecy was fulfilled centuries later, when the land of Canaan, the population of which was then Hamite, was conquered by the descendants of Shem, the Israelites. The posterity of Ham's four sons settled on the continent of Africa, in some parts of Arabia, and in Palestine. For Shem, Noah pronounced a prophecy, implying that his descendants would perpetuate the knowledge of the only true God. "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem," he said. Through his five sons, Shem became the forefather of all the Semitic races. The Arabs and Israelites descend from him. Israel, the chosen people, would one day bring to the world the knowledge of the only true God and God's Son, the Saviour. Then, speaking about Japheth, whose name means to have plenty of room or to spread, Noah said, "May God extend the territory of Japheth, and may he live in the tents of Shem." This blessing was fulfilled by the descendants of the seven sons of Japheth, who spread over the whole world. They went to the farthest corners of the earth and populated the islands and continents. The prophecy of living in the tents of Shem points to a sharing of the blessings and privileges given to the Semites. This prophecy implies that the nations descended from Japheth would one day come to know about the God of Shem so as to become part of the covenant people in the kingdom of the Messiah. Noah lived another 350 years after the flood. His sin of drunkenness, which is related nowhere else in the Bible, is the only incident mentioned during these 3.5 centuries. One can suppose that this was the only time it happened. Then Noah died at the age of 950. Next episode, the scattering of the nations.